wherever you may be around the world, and thank you for joining us once again on truth2u.org. That's truth number two, letter u.org. I'm Jono, and joining me is Jason's Spiritual Babies. G'day, mate.
Good morning. Good morning.
Whoops. You all right? You okay?
Yeah, well, some books fell on my face.
Yeah. Don't you hate it when that happens? Don't you hate it? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, just going about your business, finding your own business, and all of a sudden, books fall on your face.
Yeah, read me. Yeah, I see. Okay, later.
Different kind of a program today. Not a Spiritual Baby speed study. It's not a program of any particular, well, subject, is it? Maybe we'll get onto something in a minute. It's more of a ramble.
A rambling chat.
It's a rambling chat, but before we get onto the rambling chat, just let everybody know what your latest program is.
All right, yes. Yeah, so a few weeks ago, I was invited onto a pro on Israel National Radio with Ira Michelson and Rod Bryan to have a talk about the journey, I suppose, that I went from a church to a synagogue. And I had a lot of fun on there. It's a big thrill to go on, to be on there. You can find it on my website, on spiritualbabies.net, on my Facebook page, and on Israel National Radio. If you are in the process of asking questions about your faith, or wondering if you're the only one who feels the way you do about maybe your doubts of the New Testament, have a listen. See if there's anything in there that, you know, makes you feel a bit more tuned in. And if you need any help, then you can message me. That's kind of what I do during the day.
So there you go. Done. Spiritualbabies.net, you'll find it there. I listened to it today. It was great with your fine self. And of course, Ira Michelson. People, long-time listeners will remember Ira and Rod Bryant as well. Really worth a listen. Israel National Radio, and you'll find it on spiritualbabies.net. Now, while we're rambling, while we have no real sort of topic of discussion, before we even begin, I'm going to tell everybody something that I've never told them before, and that is what that strange little bleep sound is in the background when I talk to you. In fact, you can tell them. Come on, you know it's been a long time coming. All right. There it is. There it was. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Every single time. Oh, yeah. And people now going, scratching their heads going, yes, that's... remember here, that's in all the programs with Jason. What's that about? Never really noticed that before, but now you're going to notice it every single time it happens.
I have a canary with OCD, and about 5 years ago,
about 5 years ago,
my smoke alarm battery ran out.
But it hasn't run out. If it had run out, it wouldn't be going.
No, because it's plugged. It's the whole smoke. Because I'm in an apartment, you see, and all these things were were built in. So it is kind of on the main electrical unit.
Because what do they need a battery for?
Well, if it goes off, then it alerts the apartment, you see. So that little beep is just constantly there.
So now let me just say something. That little beep, mm-hmm. that little beep, ladies and gentlemen, is supposed to annoy the occupant of the the dwelling so much that eventually go, oh, look, I'm just going to change the battery. I'm just going to get up there and change the battery, get a chair, stand on the chair, you take the battery out, put a new one in, done, not bothering you anymore. But not Jason.
Uh-uh.
For 5 years.
Uh-huh.
There it is again.
<That's>, halfway around the world, the annoyance is working, but not here. No.
Everybody around the world that listens to Truth to You, and you and I are speaking, now everyone's going to say, can you change the battery? So annoying.
And if I do, no one's going to believe it's me. They'll be like, nope, can't hear it. It's not real.
It's like your little audio signature.
Yeah, a little watermark.
Watermark.
And to be fair, if you spend any amount of time on Facebook during the week, the level of annoyance from a smoke alarm beep is pretty slim compared to what you have to put up with.
So now just because, you know, it's been 5 years, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're not going to change.
I have a battery for it.
Yeah, that's right. You're getting around to it.
Yeah, and I bought some stepladders, so I'm ready to go. I've had that stepladder for 6 months. I am ready.
Right. You know, and that's optimistic, and, you know, it's a guy's way of doing things. We're going to get around to it. We've made a mental note. We'll get there eventually. It's all right.
There's no rush.
That's what it is. I mean, is Mrs. Spiritual Baby, she's all right. She understands that you're...
No, she that doesn't bother her at all.
There it is again. All right. Now that I've totally tuned people into that little noise.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've left the door to my hall is wide open, so you're probably hearing it because it's so hot today. I've got all the doors open.
It's so hot. Hot in Ireland's like 23 degrees, right?
Oh, yeah, I think actually it is about that today. It's really I got a fan on and all the windows are open. Oh, man.
Anyway. That's enough rambling. Let's ramble about something a little bit more specific. We've been put on the list, haven't we?
We have been put on the list. It's a very specific list.
we've been blacklisted.
I think I'd like to. I want to preface this with because I don't want this list to be like the only reason this ever comes up. Often. Because of the programs we make and because of the posts I put on Facebook, I'll often be included in conversations and called an antichrist or messiah denier or
anti-messiah.
Lots of phrases and words. It kind of interestingly, with what's going on in Israel at the moment, I see the same thing in the media where it's talking about Israel's war with Gaza, but that's not the case. Israel is at war with Hamas.
That's true.
Right, and I am not denying Messiah or anti-Messiah. You have to break those words down. And so we've been added to a list, quite a list that's growing day by day by the look of it. It's like a phone book now.
Well, there was a list. It's like a phone book. So it's a pretty long list. And I'm a little bit disappointed, actually, because everyone has a surname on this list except for me. Am I just known around the world as Jono?
You're Jono. Yeah, Jono.
Everyone knows what that is. Yeah. So it first appeared on a group. I'm not going to give the name of the group, but it first appeared on a Facebook group, and the admin decision was made to delete links to Truth to You and spiritualbabies.net because... those sites are, quote, anti-Messiah. Now, let me just ask you straight out. Are you anti-Messiah?
No, I'm not anti-Messiah.
I'm not anti-Messiah.
I'm pro-Messiah.
Have we? I'm totally pro-Messiah. Mm. I've never been anti-Messiah. And has anybody asked you if you are anti-Messiah?
Oh, people ask all the time. They just don't accept my answer of no, I'm not.
What is with that? Now, let me ask you another question. We're often called anti-missionary. They like their little antis. They're the anti-Christ and the anti-Messiah and anti-missionary. Are you anti-missionaries?
No, I'm pro-missionaries.
I'm pro-missionaries too.
Right, and if I had to put some sort of job description of what I do kind of during the week, I'd say it's missionary work.
I would agree with that.
Mm.
I'd say that's a fair analysis. But, yeah, so we're not anti-Messiah. We're very pro-Messiah. May Yehovah's Messiah be established today. Nothing would make me happier.
Mm.
And I'm not anti-mission. You and I are not anti-missionaries. We're totally for the right for people to express and evangelize their faith, whatever that faith may be.
Right, and I'd be super interested in speaking to more missionaries. I think there should be more missionaries. I think if you have a faith that leads you to speak to other people about it, then you should. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to go banging on people's doors and boring them to death. But if someone's interested, you should know enough about what you believe that you can speak.
Well, I'm going to go further than that. You know, when I was in the church, I was so I became bewildered, maybe even appalled, that people weren't, they didn't seem to believe what the New Testament was telling them enough to go out and tell people outside of their little bubble.
Right.
And I was, to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed with that, and I thought, I don't want to be like that. I want to be one of the 2%, I do believe the statistics say, of Christianity that go out and actually speak to people on the streets. And so I became a street evangelist.
Mm.
I was one of those people that stopped people on the street and gave them the quote-unquote New Testament gospel to save them from the fiery pit of hell.
And you did that for some personal reward?
You know what? I'm not sure if I did it for... Well, yeah, I mean, I guess with the knowledge that I had at the time, that kind of action would have been shined upon in the eyes of Jesus. It was my understanding at the time. But at the same time, with the faith that I understood in the New Testament, I really did feel that the New Testament demanded that we go out and preach the gospel to all the ends of the earth. I mean, this is the Great Commission that is in the end of the book of Matthew, right? Go out and And I really did feel that if what we supposedly believe is all that, why wouldn't we be beating people's doors down to tell them? I mean, obviously you're not going to do that, but you should be able to exercise your right of free speech out on the streets and to talk to people about that. And I really, and I did that. I did that for quite a time. And it was that zeal that led me to even get on radio. Now, people know that speaking, public speaking or speaking in public places as radio really is, can be a very, very daunting thing for people. It's one of the greatest fears. Do you know that the statistics say that many people would rather just die than speak publicly?
Right, yeah, I can believe it.
And it was a really big thing for me to step into Truth to You and to start doing this. But it was out of that zeal for the faith that I understood at the time, the faith that I was expressing at the time, that I did those things. I would like to see more of that. I do respect the Jovi that comes and knocks on my door. I just ring that. I wish they would ring me first, but they just turn up out of the blue. But I do like it when they come and they do that. I mean, I appreciate and respect their zeal. Don't you think?
Absolutely. And I was stopped on the street a few months ago by a lady. She must have been in her late 50s, and she asked me outright if I believed in God, and she was Jehovah's Witness. Right there in the street, she had a handful of flyers, and she was going to door to door. And do you know they produce them themselves? They don't send off
really,
them. Yeah, they have to pay to get those printed and then deliver them themselves. It's how amazing is that to have that kind of passion and belief that you'd go out and get get the design and you get the paper and you buy a printer and you have to print them up and you have to go walking for 4 hours and deliver them all like 50,000 flyers.
Do you know? One time I'll tell you this. I actually went. I purchased 3,000 flyers, tracts. I purchased 3,000 tracts, and I went to the World Youth Day, which is a Catholic, a major Catholic event. It happened to be in Sydney, and I thought, well, this is great, and because at the time I was an evangelical Christian, and all the Catholics are going to hell, and they don't know it, and I thought, well, I can't have that. I better get out there. And I was living in the country, and I thought, well, I've got to go to Sydney, and I've got to put them all right. So I went there with my bag. Boy, it was heavy. And for the whole day, and by the end of it, I could barely walk. My back was so sore. But for the whole day, I was even threatened by police, and I was sent off premises and all sorts of stuff. It was a great day. I really loved it. And I distributed all of these tracts and didn't get beat up. It was amazing. But that's how zealous I was to be a doer of my faith and not just, someone who talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk.
Now, imagine if you've got these flyers and you've gone to this Catholic rally, I suppose, and the Catholics turn around to you and say that you're anti-New Testament because you're... belief in the New Testament is different to their belief in the New Testament.
Do you know what? Let me tell you the story that what happened. I got there bright and early. It was at a particular venue in Sydney. It was heavily the security was very. There were just security guards and police everywhere, but somehow I was able to get in, and I couldn't. I don't know why they thought that I was okay to get in. People needed the little passes because the thing hadn't started yet, and you weren't supposed to be in there unless you were approved. Anyhow, they seemed to think that I was some sort of official person, and in I went. Now, everyone who was working there got a tract, and I was handing them out until someone obviously read the tract and was offended at it or whatever, alerted police. A policeman, an Irish policeman, Jason,
an Irish Catholic man, you're kidding.
Most likely an Irish Catholic, very red-faced, angry policeman came to me and said, you cannot, what are you, you can't be here, you cannot distribute this. I said, why can't I distribute this? I was let in. I've been approved. It's okay. He goes, no, you can't. You have to take this and you have to leave. And I said, well, why is that? He goes, because you better go right now. Like, he was serious stuff, and I was about to get in a lot of trouble, if not hurt. And I thought, okay, no worries. And as I'll never forget, as I was leaving, and I think I pretty much got attracted into everybody's hand, there were hundreds of people there, all of a sudden over the stereo was blaring this music like some sort of anthem at the end of the movie, you know, when the credits are rolling. And I thought, yes, oh, so great. But but I got out of there unscathed. But there he was. There was the border police, the religious border police, literally telling me, you cannot give out information to these people. You cannot tell them what they don't know. This is not approved information. You cannot hand it out. Isn't this the same? And actually, let me read this this person's list. On top of their list, and they sent this out to so many people, and there were hundreds of comments on this person's thread.
Just to be sure, this list is a revised list. This happened about a week ago. It was sent out to the friends of this person and to the friends of the people on the list. So
really?
They went through the people on the list, and then anyone that they thought might be in harm's way got a private message.
Wow, that blows my mind. This is great. I had no idea, so this is great. This is what the person I don't want to give the name because, you know, but this is what they wrote. They said, I think it is a good idea to list the names in capitals. They kind of, I'm going to read it as if they're shouting, because when you put capitals, it's... So it says, I think it's a good idea to list the names of the people you know who are seducing people to deny Messiah. I will start this way. If any of you have them as friends, I'd advise you block them before you become their next victim. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but what this person is saying is, there's a person you are friends with. They don't believe the same as you. Don't listen to them. Block them. Otherwise, you will become their victim.
Right. I'd like to just highlight the word victim and the phrase seducing people. What we're left with is the understanding that this person believes that her friends, the ones that feel and believe the same thing that she does, are so weak in their faith that a word in their ear or reading the wrong article or listening to the wrong video is going to make them completely about face without any thought and empty all of what they've believed in their whole life onto the floor and stamp on it. That's a room of sheep, isn't it? I mean, if you're how can you say that you place your faith in something if your faith is so weak that someone that doesn't believe what you believe can change your mind on Facebook? This is Facebook.
I've just given it away that she's a woman. She clearly feels threatened, so much so that she needs to tell everyone. Now, isn't it amazing? People who feel that they can tell other people what information they are and are not allowed to receive.
Mm.
You're not allowed. I mean, is God, you know, like Keith used to say, is God threatened by our questions?
Right. It's a fair comment. Interestingly, she's made this list, and she's listed a whole load of people on it. And when this list was brought to light and some of the people who were on the list posted it, they were then reprimanded for putting that information on their Facebook pages.
That's craziness. Now, the other thing is, of course, now again, this person, this woman says, I advise that you block them. She's written in capitals before you come there next week. Now, the funny thing about this is that in all the, 120 comments that are on this particular thread on this person's Facebook page, I think about 8 or 9 of them, 9 of them are friends with me on Facebook, including her.
Right.
Which is a major fail, isn't it?
Which goes to show that people are more interested in what you might be talking about than what they don't know you're talking about.
It's a little bit funny, isn't it? This is strange. This additionally, this particular woman, I love this. This is one of my pet favorite things is when, you know, Christian men refer to themselves as the Bride of Christ and Christian women refer to themselves as watchmen.
Yeah, it's very odd.
It's a little bit odd. I'm not sure what to make of that.
Let me tell you now.
But also within the thread, within the comments, she has referred to us as quote dead men walking.
Right. In fact, she's been very kind to several people. I'm kind of embarrassed by the amount of love she's showing to people that normally I would have thought you'd be trying to win back. I mean, is that how it works in some messianic circles? Do you kind of you hear that somebody doesn't believe what you believe, so you cut them off?
I guess it happens when you feel threatened, when something about your faith is threatened. It's safer to cut them off than to engage them if you're not secure in your faith. But the thing about it, and I've experienced this a number of times, I'm sure you have as well. I'm going to quote the New Testament in Matthew chapter 18 from 15, verse 15 on. Yeshua is saying, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. That's what it says.
Mm.
And it's, you know, that's what it tells you to do. It says that by the mouth. Now, Yeshua quotes the Torah, and this is from Deuteronomy chapter 19, if I remember correctly. He quotes that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, among those witnesses include the particular person, the accused.
Right.
Includes the accused. And now, did this particular person contact you?
No.
I was contacted by someone who received the list from her.
Yeah, me too.
And but you know, there was no, you know, let me ask you a couple of questions, you know, and that sort of thing. And I come across this a lot from and you know, I don't know that it's characteristic of Christians. I'd like to think it's not, but every now and then this kind of thing happens, and it doesn't speak well for them.
What I suppose, I mean, we're bracketing everyone in there as Christians. I do know a lot of people who are Christian, and I get on with them, and we can have proper conversations and good chats. There seems to be a certain percentage, though, within that group who maybe don't like the name Christian. They prefer something else. But, you know, for me, if you follow Yeshua as Messiah, and Messiah means Christ, and you're a Christian, just different coat. It's a different coat, but it's the same hat. But what this tells me is that there's a fear here. So this person's posted this, and they're not worried about one of their friends engaging in a real debate or chat, even, or study to kind of find out what the Bible does say. That's not their issue. Their issue is that their friends won't be able to defend themselves in that situation, and they'll be kind of maybe even bamboozled by information and then left confused.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the case with my friends, I'd be more concerned that perhaps their faith wasn't exercised enough for it to be strong enough to be able to enter into that conversation. So they're not, this person isn't really worried about the names on this list, what they say, seducing people. They're worried because they've used that word seduce to replace debate. Now, what it should say is, I think it's a good idea to list the names of people, you know, who are debating people into arguing who the Messiah is. That's what it should say.
Now, this is a really good point. It's a very valid point that you bring up, because I find this often, and you're right, you know, a lot of messianics would be offended at the suggestion of being labeled Christians. They'd rather be labeled messianic or Torah observants, believers in Yeshua or whatever it may be. And that's fair enough. If that's you, that's fine. But what I do find, Jason, is that when many of them are engaged, having come up through the church and then into perhaps a Torah walk, are engaged in apologetics, where really the rubber hits the road. That's where the rubber meets the road. Mm. It's always in the apologetics. They're bamboozled by it. They're unprepared for it. They don't have an answer. And yet they may have, like myself, spent, you know, 40 years in the church.
Mm.
How is it? And I've met so many people like this, and I know that I'm not the exception. How is it that we can spend 30, 40 years in the church and not have answers to apologetics, where the rubber meets the road as far as what Judaism believes and what Christianity believes? Now, when they are painted into a corner, guess where they go running? To the Christian apologist.
Mm.
Every single time. Not a messianic teacher. Never have I seen that. Mm. Every single time, a messianic or a Torah observant believer in Yeshua, whatever it may be, when they really do get painted into a corner with apologetics, not knowing what to do, they run to Dr. Michael Brown.
Right. But yeah, Michael Brown, I suppose he's the headlighter. He's the headliner in that group.
Mm.
I look at it like this. I made a reference in the show I did with Ira Rod about the unicorn, and so there's this like magical menagerie, and you can you join this magical menagerie, and you learn all these new amazing fantastic things about this unicorn, and you spend 30.
Oh, you were talking about the studying the colors, the brilliant colors of the unicorn's tail.
Yeah, the unicorn's tail comes in these amazing colours, and you can talk about them for years, and then you go into the hooves and what they're made of and how they're golden, and how the unicorn's got this amazing horn that comes out of its head, and it, like, beams of light come off it, and you spend a whole lifetime talking about that and then arguing with people who don't believe that unicorn is special. And then you find out that when you actually speak to someone who studies natural history, that there was never a unicorn. And then you wonder, like, 30 years have gone, but I know all about this thing. How can it not be real?
Well, it's simple what you do then. You know what you do? You block that person.
You block them.
You warn all your friends.
Damn straight.
Such and such says there is no unicorn. You better block them, because otherwise you'll be seduced and you'll become their next victim.
Here's a picture of a unicorn to make you feel a bit better. But that's,
so don't allow other people, dear listeners, in case you're going through this, don't allow other people to determine whether or not you have enough sense, whether or not you can think for yourself, whether or not you're, I mean, you know, how often do you hear, Jason, particularly in the church, we would often hear, oh, well, it's okay for those who are mature in their walk, but, you know, there's a lot of infants and we need to protect them because they just don't know. You know, is someone else determining you to be an infant? Don't let that happen. God has given you a brain. God is not threatened by questions. He's quite happy for you to investigate things and really own the information for yourself.
Mm. I'd say that if there are any Christians or Messianics that are listening and they've made it this far, first, I applaud you. Thank you for listening. Secondly, go and study what you believe. Like, build an argument. Have a look at the arguments that are placed up in you know, when we put up videos with Tovia Singer and with Michael Skobek, and all these great audios, and there's something in there you go, that's not quite right. Go and open your Bible and prove it. Like, learn what your response should be.
Learn what it is.
I have conversations with people often, and they'll make a very bold statement about something they believe in, and I'll ask them, why do you believe that? And most of the time, they struggle for an answer, and it generally comes down to, that's what someone told me. Very rarely does can they give you a verse. So learn where the verses are, and if the verse isn't there, you're going to have to ask why it isn't there. There's no secret codes in the Bible. It's not some...
It's not hints. It's not shadows. It's not it's not some sort of mystical read it upside down and back to front and then it'll all be revealed. There are verses and passages and it's there for you.
God speaks directly to you with his voice. When it says, so says God, or God says this, that's his voice. And you can choose to accept that, or you can choose to try and bend that to suit what you want it to say.
I would encourage people to. I've never said. I'm going to tell a little story. Can I tell a little story?
Go for it. I'll get the cocoa.
you get the cocoa and sit back in your little comfy chair with your burp every now and then in the background. And so when I was, because I don't really tell people about, you know, me and all that sort of stuff. But I'm on a roll, and I'm gonna, you know. So here we go. This is what happened. I was zealous for my faith, and I was a street preacher, and I did all of these things, and I employed I bought the tracts and bought into the training of a particular organization called Way of the Master. That was it, and it was Ray Cumbert. G'day, Ray, because he listens to the program, you know. And Ray is a New Zealander. He's just across the pond from the mainland, and And he's also a Jew. He's a Jewish chap, and he developed this whole street evangelism. And, you know, he's very entertaining sort of a chap, has this great program that he does with Kirk Cameron. Everyone remembers Kirk Cameron, right? I don't. Anyway, but apparently everyone does. And he was very popular in the States. And anyway, so I got the tracks, I did the course, and I'm certain. Now, it used to get to me, though, that they would tell people, they would use the law, right, the Torah, to convince people that they are sinners and that therefore they need Jesus.
Wow.
Because, yep, I know, they would use the law to do that, you know, and it was very clever. And, you know, you could say to stop someone on the street and say, you know, what do you think happens to someone, you know, when they die? And invariably people would say, well, you know, I think bad people go to hell and good people go to heaven. Well, really? Well, are you a good person? Oh, yeah, I'm a good person. Well, really? Well, can I ask you a couple of questions to see if that's true? Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. Okay. So then you would take them through the Ten Commandments. And have you ever, let's just go straight to the fourth. Have you ever kept Shabbat? It's the Saturday. And they'd say, no, I haven't. You know, I often work on Saturday. Well, you've broken that one. Therefore, you're going to hell, and that's why you need Jesus. Now, the interesting thing is that in Way of the Master, once you become a Christian, you don't need to keep the Sabbath anymore.
Huh?
It's but no, you had to.
Right.
And you broke that one. Therefore, you're going to hell. But if you accept Jesus, it's all into your heart as your personal savior. It's all good now, and now you don't have to keep the Sabbath. And so that was an issue for me at the time, and because I really did see the Sabbath as something given in the Torah, something that had to be obeyed. And as I learned more about the Torah and learned more about the commandments, I realized there's a whole lot of stuff here that we should be doing, you know, the dietary laws, that just aren't being done, and certainly we're not being held up by this particular organization. And I got a little bit upset about that. And a little bit of back and forth went on. And in my me being upset, I got on the web, and there was attached to this organization was Way of the Master Radio. And I was fishing around on the web, and I found an interview with a rabbi by the name of, and this is the first time I ever heard of this guy, his name was Rabbi Tobias Singer. And this was, I don't know how many years ago this was now, this was a number of years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And there's an interview between Todd Friel of Way of the Master Radio and Rabbi Tobias Singer. I listened to that, and he tried that very same, tried to evangelize and convert this rabbi. And as I listened to this, it blew my mind, because for the first time after being on the street for so long, I was hearing scripturally founded answers, Jewish apologetics that made very good sense. Mm-hmm. And at the end of this discussion transpired live on the air between Todd Friel of Way of the Master Radio and Rabbi Tobias Singer, I realized, my goodness, the Jews have very sound apologetics, and I've never heard this before. Now, there was, you know, I don't know, maybe some years passed since that, maybe 1 or 2 years. And maybe I looked into it a little bit, and I felt a little bit threatened myself. And I thought, you know, I better not look too far into this, because I don't know where it's going to end up. And this is something that is inbuilt. It's something that's built into you. I don't know if you remember, but in church, you're always told, you know, you be careful. You can't. There's some things you just can't question. If you question them, you might be damned to hell.
That's right.
You just don't go there. Don't go there. It's too dangerous.
Blasphemous.
It's over. And there's always that. There was always that uneasy feeling of, oh, I better not look at that, because I know what I believe is true. Therefore, I don't need to look at that, right? Mm. Well, I remember doing a program, and I won't go into too much detail. No, it was. It was with Baruch Ben Daniel of the Aramaic New Testament. You know,
AENT.
And Andrew Gabriel Roth, and there was a kerfuffle anyway between Keith Johnson and Nehemiah Gordon and Bruce Kurovenko. What's his name? Baruch Ben Daniel. Mm. And what was happening at the time was, and you know, we did a program on Truth to You. People can find it. It's called, I think it was called The Aramaic Letter Exposed or something like that. And what was happening was that Baruch Ben Daniel and Andrew Gabriel Roth wanted the opportunity to hold a disputation with Nehemiah Gordon. and basically argue the same apologetics that have been argued for the last 2,000 years. Nehemiah, of course, said, that's not my thing. It's not what I do. It's not what I trained in. It's outside of my scholarly studies. And I'm not going to go there. And I don't want to engage with another someone else who professes to be a Jew, likened him to Pavlo Christiani. And people can look him up. Mm. And he didn't want to engage in this particular disputation, in a debate of apologetics. And I can totally understand that. But it did get me wondering at the time. I thought to myself, why doesn't Nehemiah believe in Yeshua? Why not? I think it's a valid question nevertheless. And where can I go to get the answers? And then it dawned on me, get this, it dawned on me, and I realized, I asked myself, why do I believe in Yeshua? I don't know why I believe in Yeshua, and I don't know why Nehemiah doesn't believe in Yeshua. Where am I going to go to get the answers? And I remembered Rabbi Tovia Singer. So I got back on the internet, and I was web surfing around, and I found a whole lot of MP3s, and you can find them all on outreachjudaism.org. Outreachjudaism.org is the website. A whole lot of MP3s to listen to for free. I thought, you're kidding. This is a goldmine. If I wanted to know about Jewish apologetics and why it is that I believe in Yeshua. So I was doing a degree in Christian theology when this happened. And, oh my word. And so I listened to all of Tovia's free MP3s, and they were awesome. And I realized then, not only do the Jews have very strong apologetics, but they're right. Mm. And that's when everything started to really seriously change. And people could, like I said, outreachjudaism.org, you can find those MP3s there. Even to enhance those MP3s, I would highly recommend the brand new volume 1 and 2, Let's Get Biblical, Why Doesn't Judaism Accept the Christian Messiah by Rabbi Tovia Singer. You can get volume 1 and 2 there on that website as well, outreachjudaism.org. That, boy, how did we get onto that, Jason?
Now, I've listened to that audio. I think that's one of my favorite radio shows with Tovia and the Way of the Master People. And you can find that link on his...
You can listen to that interview on Way of the Master Radio. You can find that on the website as well, outreachjudaism.org. Do take the time. It's not very long. It's like 10, 15 minutes, and it's brilliant. And that's
there are a lot of lessons in there, not just the gold that Tovia has, but how to treat a guest on a radio show. it's pretty phenomenal. So you're saying that were you afraid when you wanted to question what you believed?
Oh yeah, I was concerned because I said I was a street preacher. Mm. I went out on the street and I stopped people and I engaged with them. That was my thing. And I'd already been on the radio for some time, and I felt threatened in my faith by going there. I just felt like it was a naughty thing to do. I'd just always been taught you just don't go there in certain topics because you'll grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that? You'll grieve the Holy Spirit is what it says. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. That'd be terrible. I mean, I might get condemned to hell. I might commit the unforgivable sin, whatever that is. I'm not too sure, but I might do it by mistake, and that'll be it, so I can't.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Come on, a lot of people feel like that.
No, it's true. And you're told that, you know, it's kind of, you know, you've got a little kid and he keeps getting up in the night and you'd say, you know, don't go outside. If you go outside, bad things will happen. It's like, what bad things? It doesn't matter. You're already terrified.
You got the banshee there in Ireland, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You hear that scream, someone's going to die.
That's it. You don't want to go outside.
Yeah, and that's not, that's true. That's not even made up.
Screaming bat. That's true.
Yes. You don't want to be walking around Ireland at nighttime. You hear someone scream. Whoa, that's not good.
But is not knowledge, and this brings, and I've said this over and over again on Truth to You, knowledge is the remedy for superstition.
Yes.
Knowledge is the remedy for superstition. And when people tell you, you better block that person, I would tell you, you better find out what they're saying. Mm. Because it's a... now, who was it who said... Was it Nachmanides who said, accept truth from whatever source it comes?
Right, yeah. And you know what? I read that as one of the very first things... kind of, you know, I suppose Jewish teaching, if you like. It's one of the very first things I read from Jewish source. And I heard it paraphrased.
Maimonides. It wasn't Nachmanides. It's Maimonides.
Right. I heard it paraphrased on a channel called New to Torah. Your man, what's his name? The bearded guy. That's all I can remember. He said one time, you can chew the meat and spit out the bones. And I see that the same. And it's a good phrase. And I've taken it on since. As an example, we might do a fantastic show on a subject which is completely based in Torah. We haven't quoted anything that's not written. We haven't said anything that's out of context. And for me, that's like a good show. But you're going to have people that say, don't listen to that because they don't believe what we believe. But, you know, do listen to it. And if you, you know, chew on the meat and spit out the bones.
Kick against the system of the people who want to police your information.
Right, yeah. I did a graphic a while ago. I like doing these silly little graphics. And there was kind of some people on a cliff. And one guy shouts out, don't lean on that rail, it's broken. And another guy says, don't listen to him, Jimmy doesn't believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
there's a whole lot of truth in the Tanakh, and much of it is spoken directly by God through his prophets, right. And you know, that's what we want to deliver. And if someone's telling you not to listen to us say that, then you got to wonder why they don't want you to listen to the words of God.
Check it out before you go blocking anyone. I'm going to use that. Send me that picture. I'm going to use that as the picture for this for this ramble. If people enjoyed the this is the first time we've really done a ramble, is it?
Oh, yeah. If people like this, we'll do more because this was.
We can ramble. I mean, we don't even have to prepare.
That's right.
We can ramble without preparing anything. It's just, I mean, if you like it, we can do more. I don't mind.
It should be a folk group, shouldn't it? Rambling chats.
In the background, you'll get the little blip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd miss it if it wasn't there.
I think I would miss it too.
Yeah.
All right, boys and girls, enjoy. And I'd like to dedicate this program to Sherry. Right, we're off.
Bye-bye.